balls.
You're in a really good mood today. It's great.
It's good times.
Are you having your man period?
I may not be able to drive this show with my normal amount of...
I thought you were going to say you're so sullen that you may not be able to even drive home.
Oh, no. I'll drive home.
Got to get home.
Hey, where's the beer fridge at?
It's just outside.
Let's have a beer.
Yeah, it might help.
Fucking sucks, yeah.
We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie.
Listening to the Bungie podcast, the number one most downloaded and listened to podcast on the entire internet. That's an official statistic. Today, we have, as usual, myself, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, Brian Gerard from Bungie, and today we also have a special guest, a new Bungie employee, or relatively new, Mr. Christian Allen.
How's it going?
Welcome.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and what you're doing now?
Yeah, I just started at Bungie a few months ago, working as a new design lead, soaping up all the design knowledge at Bungie. I've been in the industry for a little over 5 years now. My background's actually in the military. I was in the Marine Corps and kind of got into the industry in a weird way. I got out of the Corps, went back home to Alaska, and I started modding Rainbow Six with my buddies that we'd play in the dark in the basement every Friday night to make guns for them and stuff like that. And
this is video games, right?
Yeah. Wait,
like,
yeah.
Okay, good.
You're cheating at Rainbow Six?
No. Making cool guns for our use and stuff like that. And started making missions and putting them up on that new magical internets thing. That came out, and people liked it, so I started doing more. And pretty soon I was doing it like 8 hours a day, and my wife was like, you're either going to quit doing this or you're going to get a job in it. And I was like, oh, you can get a job doing this? That might be cool. So quit my cushy government job and went after the industry, and it took a while. And then I got a gig at Red Storm and worked at Red Storm for about 5 years, Ghost Recon pretty much the whole time. 1.52, 2.53, 3.5, whatever. And then now I'm here.
Cushy government job.
I've never heard being in the Marine Corps described as a cushy job.
Oh, well, after the Corps, I went and worked for the state of Alaska and had cushy government job.
And you were a Marine before this second Gulf War, right?
Oh, yeah. I was in between.
Sweet times.
I was the in-between.
You're a tweener.
Guy that really didn't go anywhere or do anything. I was a cop, so...
Very nice. You're an MP?
Yeah.
Nice.
You had to arrest some nasty dudes, though.
Yeah. Well, Marines are fun to arrest, especially because I'm 5'8".
MPs is like definitely, that's one sort of area of sort of military genre of games that no one's touched before.
That's because it's generally incredibly boring. Oh. Like, you know, the stay on the post for 12 hours and, you know, search cars is probably wouldn't be exciting gameplay. But.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
But you can like Hollywoodize it and make it like
Assassin's
CSI.
Creed
it
up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's weird.
NCIS makes it look fun.
The Bungie Veterans Corps is growing quite a bit then. We have a few other
ex-servicemen
on the squad.
Who else?
I was only thinking of Bertone. I'm just always thinking about Paul.
Yeah. Marty was in the Texas Air Rangers, right? The Champagne Regiment. Yeah.
He was. Yeah. I think he and Bush, he was Bush's wingman back in the day in the National Guard.
Well, I'll be his wingman anytime.
The cool thing is I was also in the Air Guard and the Army Guard, too. So, like, I've served in three out of the four services. I was going to go Navy, but then, got bored of it. So, 9.5-year E-4.
Wow.
So, hey, we're taxpayers. We serve the country faithfully in that regard.
Well, yeah. Obviously, you know
well,
now.
Well, we tax generators too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm sure you experienced this at Red Storm, but we've, over the years, have gotten a lot of great connections and friends and fans in the armed services. Halo is hugely popular amongst all the troops, and I mean, more so than I even thought. I mean, we get accounts of everything from guys in tents in Iraq somewhere playing the game in their spare time to guys on nuclear subs in the bottom of the sea having tournaments just to pass the time and kill the boredom. So
yeah,
there's definitely a little connection crossover there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like you know, you see, you go into any barracks, I'm sure you'll find plenty of Xboxes and 360s scattered through there. They set them up in the common area and then they disappear. So
lots of
going Wii's. To people's rooms.
Wii Fit's really big, I think.
Yeah, yeah, Wii Bowling. Yeah. Yeah.
WarioWare.
Did they try to lure you back recently? I mean, have they been...
The military? Yeah. I actually did. At one point, I got a letter after I graduated college because I went back to school and finished. And it was kind of creepy. Within like 2 weeks of getting my degree, I get this letter from the Army Guard. And they're like, hey, we're looking for officers now. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So my wife would strangle me. So plus now I'm all fat and out of shape, so...
Yeah,
well, it's time to take a baseball.
That reminds me of our experience yesterday. Yeah. Luke and I were walking out of lunch at a
popular
at
a, fast food establishment.
At a very well-established Mexican establishment. And we noticed two recruiters there that were chatting up an attractive female who happened to have like a really edgy camo-style hoodie on.
She was in good shape.
But we were offended they didn't try to pitch us or give us a hard sell. And
walking out with giant bags of food and like buckets of soda.
Right.
Let's get back to your desks.
Gordita crumbs on her face.
Yeah, I've seen those Marine recruiters. They'd be like, they have free tacos in the Marines, son.
They do? Sign me up.
But yeah, I guess we weren't recruitable material.
No. Did they ask you to do like monkey bars and push-ups and stuff?
No, they didn't even look at you. They were too busy giving the hard sell to this other person.
Marine needs more hotties. I mean, that's got to be true, right? Can never have too many.
Oh yeah.
You know, psychological warfare against Al Qaeda. Check out our hotties.
Jeez.
What?
Well, so getting us back to real topics here. You know, I'd be curious, as Christian is one of our more recent hires. You had a chance. You came in at the end of Halo 3. You sort of saw the project get wrapped up. You've been here for a while now. What's it been like at Bungie? For just people on the outside, how's your experience here been?
You can be totally honest because no one from Bungie listens.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Well, I have to work for Marcus every day, but aside from that, like, things are really cool. You know, I started. It was actually pretty crazy because I started the day that that Halo 3 went gold. So everybody was kind of you know asleep at their desks when I walked in, and I kind of had like a month where nobody even really knew I was here. I was just kind of hiding out, you know. And but, you know, as everybody kind of came back and started recharging and getting traction on working on cool new stuff, it's been really exciting. Like, it's one of the interesting things to me is just seeing how kind of the creative juices flow and how things get bandied about in kind of, organized chaos, right? Like, just kicking things around and grabbing people and bouncing ideas off each other. And it's been a... And that's great because that's the way I kind of like to work too. Like, go around and figure out everybody's really cool ideas and then claim them as my own and like feel really good about myself, you know. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Just a real cavalier attitude. And one of the interesting things just coming in is just the level of kind of self-commitment and self-criticism, you know, that you see at Bungie. You know, I think there's maybe this idea of all the kind of top-tier studios, you know, if you think of Bungie or id or whatever, that these guys just sitting around patting themselves on the back about how great they are. And it's more like, you know, we really just got to drive forward and keep making things better. So.
Yeah, we're a very self-critical group. I stink to high heaven right now.
Yeah.
Cabbage and dog turd, I think.
Usually we're the ones that pat ourselves on the back. Like, Frank gets to go to Swanky Award shows in Vegas and whatnot and take credit for everything the team did. So.
God, the deadpan is so thick today.
No. Listen, Linda, hypocrisy as well is rife.
Yeah.
How'd you like Halo 3? Since the game was, you pretty much walked in, got to play the final finish.
Yeah, I played the finish thing right off the bat, and you know, I've had a good time. I played all the way through the campaign, and you know, traditionally I got into consoles because I had to. I was always a PC gamer, and in 2002 or whatever, someone said, "Hey, we're going to work on this Xbox thing," and I was like, "Why is that like a Nintendo or?" So by
what
now,
are you, my mom, yeah.
You're well, yeah, playing on bad, your game but, sheet.
But I mean, the thing I really like about Halo, and that I've always respected about it, is just that it, in single player and multiplayer, it just never gives you the chance to put it down, right? Like, you never have that point that you get to where you're like, okay, I'm done. You know, normally it's like, oh fuck, it's like 3:30 in the morning, and I gotta go to work tomorrow, kind of thing. And so that just being able to kind of maintain that pace and that intensity is...
Yeah, we didn't put a pause really button in the game is how we achieved that.
So, but it's been cool because, you know, Halo has always, you know, you know, coming from working in other first-person games on the Xbox, it's always, you know, been compared to Halo. Like, you know, what, how's Halo do this? Why can't we do this? And, you know, and most of the time it was like, we're not making Halo. Can we all remember that we're not trying to make Halo?
Couldn't be more different, really.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
But
there's some things where I wish they would just steal it. I mean, like control schemes and vehicles. I wish, I mean, not to blow our own horn, but like every time we get in a vehicle, I think, why doesn't it? I wish it just sort of controlled a little bit like a Halo view.
Yeah. We talked about, like, in the early days of Xbox Live, I mean, some of my fondest memories came from long, late-night Ghost Recon sessions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm wondering what that was like on your side when Halo 2 came out and sort of, at the time, sort of crushed the world.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you don't remember, but, yeah, my first game as a lead designer was Ghost Recon 2, which shipped at the exact same time as Halo 2, which was really exciting. And the cool thing about it for me, you know, yeah, it had a ton of hype, but the good thing about it for me, like, as Ghost Recon 2 was being developed, like, it was kind of a low-key product because Ghost Recon 1, like, took a lot of time to build up steam. It wasn't, like, a big splash. And so at the time, the publishers and stuff had us pegged in this lower slot, like, oh, you're competing against these, like, lower tier games. And then all of a sudden in the, like, last 3 months, it was like, how are we going to compete against Halo 2? And it's like, oh, we're trying to compete against them? Oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, we're even in the same stratosphere. But it was nice from the fact that because, like, Ghost and Halo are such different games, like, they could happily coexist. Yep. Like, you can play Halo for however much time and swap over and play some Ghost Recon and get a really different feel. They're not, like, two similar experiences. And, you know, of course, you know, if anybody's played Graw and looked at the ranking system and noticed that it's quite closely matched to Halo 2, you know, there's a reason for things like that, so...
I thought you were going to ask another question.
Yeah, no, I told you, don't look nodding. To me. Don't look to me to drive and ask every question this episode.
I'm just so tired.
I'm taking the back seat.
So hard.
Come on. Let's go. Step it up.
Well, what are you doing? Step it
up. Yeah, step it up.
So when you work on a project like Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, because you shipped Graw, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And did you also ship Graw 2? Was that your last game there?
Yeah, that was my last game there.
So what was your role on both of those titles, and how is that role that you did at Ubisoft and Red Storm different than what you're doing
See,
here?
That's great. It's almost like you're an ex-game journalist or something like that.
Yeah.
Nice question.
It's weird.
Yeah. Nice job.
So I'm off my game. I haven't done a press interview in like a while, so it's been like 8 months. But Graw was kind of a special case, like being the launch title, and we actually... Red Storm was driving the multiplayer side. Well, it was actually multi-studio development. So five different studios were working on it, with single-player development focused in Paris, some development in Spain. And so coming off that, whereas on Ghost Recon 2 and Summit Strike on the Xbox, we did everything. So like when I was the lead designer on those, I was worried about single-player and multiplayer and everything. So it was a little bit strange experience to kind of just focus on multiplayer. So I was like the lead multiplayer designer on Graw, and then on Graw 2, I was a creative director on the multiplayer side, which was less nuts and bolts and more kind of overall vision and gathering feedback and doing publisher presentations and flying around a lot and doing the press. So the one weird thing is like I haven't flown really anywhere since I got here, which is really strange. And I'm kind of worried about my American Airlines Executive Platinum because, like, next year I'm going to have to start standing in line again and I won't be able to go into the Admiral's Club and
sucks,
stuff.
Sucks, yeah. So. I missed Alaska by 2,000 miles this year.
Yeah, yeah.
2,000. It was like one flight somewhere shitty, you know.
Yeah.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Seriously, I could have just gone to Boise or something and got that and failed.
So, yeah, because for a while I was, like, flying to Paris, like, once a month, which was sounds more exciting than it is, but...
Yeah, it starts to wear down on you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that we're sort of in like a sort of quote-unquote off year, I mean, there isn't going to be... I don't think you're going to be traveling much in the near future either, I hate to say, with the exception of potentially...
GDC.
Yeah, I'm heading down to GDC, so
that's certainly 700 miles.
Our press junket isn't going to be gearing up for quite a while, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. So... Oh, the cool thing about GDC is I'm not talking this year. Like, this is the first year in 3 years I don't have to give a presentation. Hmm. So I can just, like, go and chill and get drunk.
So what have you given some of your past presentations on?
The first two were on military shooter stuff, like the challenges in making military shooters. And then last year I did one with Mike Haynes, who's a level artist and art manager on kind of prototyping production pipeline for, you know, rapidly playtesting maps and getting them into the pipeline relatively quick, you know, because our turnaround schedule on content was relatively quick between Grah and Grah 2. We really had to, like, buckle down real fast. So
what do you think about Call of Duty 4 coming off the sort of the guys that sort of put military console shooters on the map? And this isn't me saying this. I think the media is pretty much appointing Call of Duty 4 as like the new king of that genre.
Yeah.
How do you view that game now? And like, what do you think your guys back at your old crew are thinking?
Well, I always had this like joke that like related to Call of Duty and Battlefield, like all the Battlefield guys were sitting in an office yelling at their manager saying, like, we're not Ghost Recon. Will you stop trying to make us do what Ghost Recon does? And all the Ghost Recon guys are sitting in an office going, like, no, we're not going to do giant battles because we're not Battlefield, you know, whatever. But, I mean, Call of Duty, obviously, is just an impressive presentation, right? Like, everything about it in the campaign is just slick and polished. The gameplay is, I mean, they walk an interesting line. You know, they find that kind of line between the Halo kind of twitch gameplay and fast reflexes and some of the tactics that go into like a Rainbow Six or a Ghost Recon, and they really pull it off kind of brilliantly. I mean, really, the thing that I think makes it stands out is just purely the polish, right? And, you know, they could get some of that because of the alternating studio technique that they use between 2, 3, and 4. But just the drive into the modern shooter, it was natural for them. It felt good. And it was interesting because, you know, the classic Call of Duty experience is when you're playing and you recognize that movie that you saw. You know, I'm in Stalingrad just like I saw an enemy at the gates. And they pulled that into the modern day and really pulled off what people imagine the exciting parts of combat today are. I got some gripes with the gameplay and a few things of the presentation, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do next with that. Like, you know, I'm sure they'll do some expansion of that, but are they going to go, you know, into the future, you know, that kind of thing?
You know, I typically, when we have guests, one of the questions that we just ask are sort of what are some of your favorite all-time games on any platform, any era?
Like the game, the
Bungie
two
games excluded.
Okay. I was going to say, of course, Halo 3, yeah. But the games that like stick in my mind, like there's three games that define me both as a gamer, as a designer. And like the first one, like in chronological order, I guess, is Starflight, which I don't know if you guys remember. It was, I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago. It was a binary systems game.
Luke wasn't probably born.
I think I was 8.
I was a young kid playing it, but it was a space exploration game where you flew your little spaceship around and you mined planets. And the thing that impressed me about it is this thing came on 2 floppy disks, right? The 5 1/4-inch disks, which I don't even know what is that, like 100.
What's that?
It's like these old plastic things that, you know, had moving parts. But this game that fit on these disks had something like 250 planets, right? That you could land on and then drive your little buggy around the whole planet. The whole planet was mapped out.
Mass Effect?
Yeah, so basically it's Mass Effect on floppy disks.
Yeah, so yeah. Mass Effect ripped off this game you're talking about.
Elite came out before Starflight, and Mercenary came out before Starflight, and you could do that on those.
Yeah. It was just impressive, the scope of it.
You're like Mr. Belding old.
Yeah, I was super old. It's true. And you could fit 128K on two of those floppy disks. But, they were like Blu-rays, but they're bendy.
Yeah, bendy Blu-rays, right. There you go. And, yeah, you played them in a really big iPod that sat on your desk. Yeah, and then after that, Wasteland, which, of course, you know, the RPG was huge with the replayability of that. And then after that, Rainbow Six was...
That's a hell of a jump.
It is. I mean, well, I mean,
were
I played...
you doing a, in the... Oh, serving your...
He was in the Marines.
Yeah.
But,
I take that back.
Like, even before that, like, me and my buddies, we, like I said, we'd get together, we'd play StarCraft and Quake 2, and, you know, it was really fun, and I really enjoy StarCraft and AoE 2 and stuff, but, like, the first time we booted up Rainbow Six, we'd been playing Quake 2, and we're, like, kind of getting a little burned on it. Q3 test was still kind of just coming out, I think. And one of my buddies suggested we boot up this Rainbow Six game. And I was like, well, it kind of looks ugly. Like, I don't even know if I really want to play that. And he's like, no, really, really, it's cool. And so we booted it up. And the first thing my buddy goes, we're playing co-op. He says, the first thing we do is announce our presence. And he shoots up into the air. And like 15 seconds later, all six of us are dead. And it's like, I was like, wow, that's really different experience.
So. Is that a Marine tactic?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
We're here. We're about to attack.
Yeah.
Woo.
So, and the cool thing I think that Rainbow Six did at the time when it came out is it just did something different than the kind of id model. And, you know, interestingly, like Halo kind of did a similar thing with the way it just it took the basic FPS model and just opened it up into more of a sandboxy type type gameplay experience and allowing all these different things that you can do in the game.
I really thought his third game was going to be Final Fantasy VII. I just did. I just had a feeling.
He doesn't talk about it since Tifa or whatever died.
Yeah. That and Surf's Up.
Yeah. I know it's Aeris. Don't send me emails.
That was Frank's game of the year in 2002 or whatever that was.
1994 or 5. Yeah. He played 5 minutes of it. Yeah. See, I had a question before we started down that path, but now I feel like it'd be going completely backwards.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Do it.
So the Bungie, what was your Bungie interview process like? it's supposedly pretty rigorous, and the job that Bungie was hiring was posted for a really long time.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually a pretty brutal process. Like I got into contact with Jason Jones in like I want to say like March. And so I went through, like, a ton of phone screens, just me and him. Like, we never got anywhere, though, because, like, every time we started to try to, like, interview, we just start, like, BSing about game design theory and fun for, like, hours. But after that, like, yeah, the process actually coming in, it was 2 days, 2 solid days. And, you know, just people coming in and just grinding you pretty good. Like, I didn't really prepare or anything, you know, because – you know, I figured if I, you know, can't pull it off with my experience and, you know, the things that, you know, that make me a good designer, I wasn't too worried about it. But it was pretty grueling. Like, the end of the first day, I was just, like, exhausted. I just went back to my room and, like, drank some rum and went to sleep, so.
Luke actually won his job in a fan fiction contest on a fan site. just for comparison.
Yeah, that's cool.
And his furry costume elite was the clincher.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I've seen some of those pictures. It's
a good costume.
They don't have tails, but you pulled it off.
So you said the things that make you a good designer. So rather than put you on a spot about why you're a good designer, what does make a good designer?
Well, experience is part of it. Like, experience and generally accepting, like, what's gone wrong in the designs that you wrote. Like, that's one of the biggest things is, like, identifying what you screwed up and how to make it better. Like, collaboration is a lot of it, you know, especially these days. You know, these days I think what makes a good designer on a team is a lot different than it was before when there was, you know, six people in a garage. Like, that skill set is incredibly different than when you're working with, you know, however many hundreds of people that make a modern video game. And so a lot of it right now is communication and collaboration, like being able to, like I said, draw ideas from other people and communicate it and push forward and sell people on it and get people buy-in so that the people who are implementing feel kind of part of the process. They feel like they can have ownership of the game, because if they feel like if they're bought in on it and they think it's a cool idea, then they're going to do like such a better job than if they're just like handed this design Bible that some guy wrote in an office for 3 months or whatever. So yeah, that and just, you know, analytical skills and the ability to have this kind of intuitive feel of what's fun and walk that line between challenge and frustration, right?
Where do you think the video games are going to go in like the next 5 years, 10 years?
Wow, yeah, 5, 10 years. 5 years is, I think, easier. I think you're going to – I mean, we're kind of in this period of consolidation, right, and sequelization. I think you're going to see more of that. Especially if the economy starts, you know, wavering a little bit, people are going to.
5 years, we might still be in the same hardware generation potentially, right?
Yeah. I mean,
who knows?
Yeah. But even thinking of that, like, I mean, thinking about the difference between the, like, launch Xbox titles and, like, the ones that came out in the last few months, like, you could see such a difference in polish. So I think you're going to continue to see higher fidelity and stuff like that. But I think people are going to start to really explore interactivity with, you know, social networking and things like that, bringing, you know, Facebook elements into to games and really trying to make games like social hubs. I think you're already seeing that with BNet and like some of Blizzard's stuff and things like that. 10 years, I don't know, man. It's just think where we were 10 years ago, and what was that, 1998? Is that 10 years ago? Yeah, I guess so. It's a big difference. So we'll see.
I think it's your turn, Brian. You get to ask a question.
Frank hasn't said dick this whole show.
I've been drinking beers in the corner. And I've been digesting what Christian's been saying. I'd like to add something to where games are going. I sort of agree about the whole Facebook sort of MySpace thing, but I think that's people wrote more than stuff. Like, you can do all that interaction in Xbox Live right now. You can chat and send people photos and all that stuff. But I think it's the types of people it's going to bring in. It's funny, everyone's worried about Waggle. But I think, to your point, I think something that non-gamers are really interested in is interaction and communication and socialization. And, I think Sony's going to try it with Home, but that's a hub.
Yeah.
I think that the game needs to be the destination. And if you think of a sort of a big friendly Grand Theft Auto, I think is the way to go. You know, where you're not jacking cars and stuff, but rather, you know, whatever, buying them, customizing them, driving them around, going to swap meets and stuff. I think that would be an interesting sandbox, is a kind of social sandbox that empowers you. Some cross between Crackdown and MySpace.
Yeah.
Well, that could also be hell, if you think about it.
But crack space.
Yeah. Crack space, yes.
I think you're going to have this expiration of kind of happy games too, right? Like, I think we made a splash because, you know, the general tone of the games that are popular are happy, you know, and you see that with like Rock Band and stuff like that. People don't necessarily always want to just pwn or be pwned. They want to have these happy.
Shred or be shredded.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So,
yeah, more than rock out. I mean, we talked about this in the more closer time frame. It's tough for us to really get into the stuff our listeners would love to hear about, which is what you're currently working on.
That's true.
We can say is sort of Bungie's next game that isn't Halo 3 expansion, DLC type stuff. This would be something totally different from Bungie. Far, far too early in its state to even say more than that at this point. But yeah. Eventually, I'm sure we'll have a lot of cool things to start talking about. And
definitely.
Probably we'll bring you back on the show when we can remove the gag order and let you start talking about some of the stuff you guys are really doing. I can just say that some of the stuff I've seen is pretty cool. So
you just gotta tease.
Why not? Why not?
People are gonna be so upset.
Haven't they been upset for years?
when are they not upset? The ones that write in, I mean.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm actually gonna write in right after this.
Have you played Griffball? Speaking of just pure design philosophy and the evolution of games,
I've played it a little bit and I've heard a lot about it, but I mainly just experienced the getting my ass handed to me by 12-year-olds is mainly. I did find out the other day that the best way I can help my team win is with the recon and the flaming head. Like, while the other team is humping my dead body, my team goes and captures the flag and gets lots of points. So that's cool.
See, because I remember, I think there was a bug, and unfortunately, I think it had to do with performance. We couldn't do it, but I always thought it'd be cool if after we were killed, our corpse burned a little while longer. So if you want to hump me, I'm going to send your balls.
And you actually take damage? Yeah,
because right now with the flamethrower, if you kill somebody, their corpse will be on the ground and it'll still burn. And if you walk over, it'll do damage to you.
Then we could have had an achievement called like that burning sensation.
I like
from
it.
Humping a bungee employee.
Yeah, exactly.
Consider that an official submission for your next project.
Definitely, yeah. I'll put that on the future.
Pyro official shave. Idea.
Pyro shave.
I don't know if you're much of a sportsman, but we also tend to ramble on and act like we're NFL experts occasionally.
Oh, it's
going to
be Super Bowl weekend by the time people listen to this.
Yeah, it could be, right? I don't know.
It could be, yeah. It'd I mean, be coming you up. Will be aware of the Super Bowl teams when you're hearing this. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I generally, my involvement in like sports is the guy in the corner drinking beer and just kind of throwing up on myself while everybody else is watching the game. So
if that was if Frank Brady until wins, the Seahawks clinch their playoff.
Yeah,
that's great. But I will drink and vomit on myself if the Pats win.
Yeah, there's just a long-standing rivalry between Mr. Paul Bertone,
Pats
fan, Lil' Kira is a hardcore Colts fan.
It's a long-standing rivalry between most of America and Pats fans.
Did you know that Jerome, our security guard, huge Colts fan?
I didn't.
What?
Monstrous Seriously? Colts fan. Yeah, I walked in today, copped all the last night. And
did
I was like, did you
hug each other?
Fan? He's like, yeah, I'm actually from Indianapolis. Are you from Indy? It's like, oh, no.
No, you're one.
So he's a more hardcore real fan than you are.
Well, yeah, he has the geographical advantage, absolutely.
And the size advantage if it comes down to...
if it comes down to push to shove, yeah.
Hey, you know, that's something else. Speaking of competition, the other thing coming up next week, so this will be, by the time this show airs, this would have already occurred, would be your first ever bungee pentathlon.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And
so
I'm
sure you've heard a little bit about that, the momentum and the buzz starting to sink in.
Yeah, I'm getting ready. Me and Roberta are pairing up on the Pictionary team. I'm going to be, which I think I was placed there to do the least amount of damage.
So you're on Luke's team, I take it, right?
Yeah, Christian's on the newbies
team. Luke's the captain of that team.
Exactly.
Okay. Pictionary is bullshit. Officiating sucks.
Basically.
It does come down to officiating every year.
It really does come down to, like, every team just yells out their answers, and, like, there's a judge that may or may not hear you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I've lost many a point.
Well, considering the amount of damage I could do on the other games, you know, DDR or Halo or anything like that, I think Pictionary is a good place for me to be. So.
I'm entertaining a bunch of different strategies for how the team's going to approach the five events.
We also have some side events, by the way, too. So, I mean, there are unofficial just sort of games happening on the side for people that don't like the current five main titles or just want to try something different.
Or
or
for, like, people on the newbie team who are like, hey, I want to play in Halo. And I'm like, hey.
You're not good.
No.
my team captain's email said, please send me your prioritized list of games you'd like to be in. And for all Halo requests, please include a link to your service record with your highest achieved ranking online.
Yeah.
So that's
I got to send that back. I got to send that again.
Ours is a pretty binary position. If you're let your record speak for itself, otherwise you're not going to make the cut.
I think my KD ratio is 0.79 right now. So.
Okay. That's like Davina and Sean are
our team captain, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about Christian and I's team is we have a bunch of the what's that group of the staff called? Like, are they that support staff?
Administrative staff.
Yeah, so we have like the new HR team and they're all part of the newbie squad. So we're dealing with that. Yeah. And
a bunch of them are non-gamers. Let's be honest.
Yeah, a lot of them are non-gamers. So we have Wii Bowling. Perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
Pictionary.
We talked about you guys have a specific advantage for potential Rock Band performances that other teams can't match.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Because we have girls.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we're awarding points for flair and so on. And nobody's got flair like girls.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, and Noguchi.
One
time he just walked in and rocked it with that headband.
Last year we had Guitar Hero, and that's where this whole idea of, like, bonus points for showmanship came out, is Matt Noguchi had
the Danielson headband,
and
headband.
He had a custom-painted guitar that he brought in, and he wailed. Yeah. So.
Was he good at Guitar Hero, though?
Yeah, he's all right.
Moderately, but he wasn't like some of the prodigies we have downstairs, like Adrian, that can just dominate on expert. Yeah,
he was kind of like Ringo Starr as a drummer, right? It was all flash and
just gets the job done.
Yeah, exactly. But,
So I think it'll be okay. The teams are we going to post the teams online or something?
You're the online dude. Yeah. I mean, what's the verdict?
So what's
the
line?
I think we should. Why not?
I think we should post the complete roster and what they'll be playing.
So with the flair, like if I dress up like as a Frenchman for Pictionary and have like a little painterly.
Well, Pictionary doesn't have the bonus.
There's no flair.
I like where you're going with that.
No, actually, yeah, there is this year. Go right ahead.
Maybe Pictionary should have sort of a risque bonus applied to it because inevitably people seem to start drawing stuff on that board that's pretty far away
from
what
like
they're trying. What
the point, right?
What it should
like,
be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That'll be great when there'll be an HR.
That's cool that you're diving
right
into that though obviously there's going to be a lot of really talented artists on your team who take that stuff super seriously.
That's true, but they're slow, right? Because
exactly.
They try to do it nice.
And my experience in the past has been that the artists usually aren't the best at that game because they're perfectionists. They want to do this masterpiece, and it's just the people that are really quick on their feet can whip it out.
Well, the thing about a designer, you guys.
So basically, Frank.
No. There's lateral thinking too. People come up with drawings of a thing that you don't think is the word, but
you're
then
right.
When you say it out loud, you're like, "That is the word." So. Good times.
I remember that Bungie comic Lorraine drew from a couple years ago when Jason was at the board, and I think the answer was mothball, and he drew like a really nice picture of like this animal in like a circle, and his team's yelling out like butterfly circle, butterfly round, circle butterfly,
silence of the lamb's moon, and so on.
We're also hoping this year to videotape some of the pentathlon so we can maybe do like a highlight reel just to share it with the fans, because you're going to see, and you've probably already started to see, once sort of the official whistle blows, like the whole mood of this place changes and people take this thing.
It gets hardcore.
I mean, I've never seen blows thrown, but it gets pretty close.
There's a lot of, like, there's a history of butt-hurtedness, isn't there?
There is. Oh, yes.
There's been some serious incidents.
Yep, and then it's sort of, you know, we all go home for like 2 hours, and then we're supposed to get dressed up nice and show up for our holiday party. And at that point, like, people have been drinking all day, potentially. And
but they're usually separated this year, right? Like,
no,
it's like
not
day
really.
After.
Is it the same day? The same day. It's that night. Oh. So, yeah.
And you have to get from here on the east side to Seattle on the west side, and then back again for some people.
We have a cab service that Davina's set up, so we're being responsible.
Oh, I'm staying in a hotel. That's the way I'm doing it. So
really? There you go. Yeah. There is a block of hotels, and they even set up daycare as well. If you want to just take your kid and drop him off in a hotel room somewhere, you can do that.
Is there a ball crash? Because I could go nap there.
Well, Frank, you're not even going to participate, are you?
I'm not. I'm just going to be in Pictionary. That's it. I could... I'm not good enough to be on the Halo team. There's nothing left.
So far, Frank's on my team now, and so far, no one on our team has really stepped forward for Dance Dance. I think you could be a natural at that, especially because Dance Dance does have a flair component.
But if you were
to come in, like, maybe wearing a kilt, for example.
My only experience with Dance Dance Revolution is I watched the Billie Jean video by Michael Jackson. That is it.
There's only a flair component for the first round, though.
Oh,
the
Dance
finals
Dance.
Are. I talked to Froman about it today.
Finals are pure technical skill.
It's a pure technician's exercise.
You know my other experience? I was there when that fat kid ate it off the Dance Dance Revolution machine in the YouTube video, the famous one. I was there when it happened.
Well,
it was
you could start up your own side event like a saber toss if you really wanted to.
Saber toss. I think if you toss the saber, it'd be much more damage.
Yeah, we could just some axe throws.
That's how bungee rolls. Yeah.
Frank, you participate in like a different exhibition event, though, don't you? The Barry-thon?
Yeah, Barry-thon is off the books, I guess. It doesn't really count towards your scoring. A separate Street Fighter 3 Third Strike tournament that goes on all day. As usual, be using Akuma and my Panned Turtle style. I guarantee I will come about fourth.
What do you do?
Do you think you just
perma-block?
I'm always about fourth, yeah.
What's your style? You just perma-block and
I'm actually a good strategic blocker because I don't know very many moves, so I just block and then use the moves I do know. So
parry into supers.
Parrying's too risky. Every time somebody tries to parry my stuff, they eat it. So there's no way I'm doing it because I don't have half the skill they have.
So who finishes 1, 2, and 3 usually?
Luis really usually does pretty well. Tom Doyle hosts the tournament, but he's not the main competitor. But Sheik is good.
Sheik's a contender.
It's always pretty open. I mean, I could theoretically win, but I would have to be lucky for like 2 rounds. So
what's the over-under on that?
Next year, if we plan good enough, I can bring in my Terminator 2 and my Bad Dudes machines, because I am the master of Bad Dudes and the Dragon Ninjas.
Is that the game where you have to rescue Madonna?
You rescue Ronnie, President Reagan.
Oh, that's right.
From the ninjas.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 has the Uzi attached to
it. Oh, yeah.
Cabinet,
yeah,
right?
Two guns.
That.
Yeah.
Nice.
Shoot Terminators.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Shoot Terminators till your eyes bleed. It takes about 5.5 hours to beat that game.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have 3 arcade games in my house too that I've actually contemplated bringing in and putting them on loan here just to get them out of my house.
You're really noble.
Yeah.
Way to step up.
Well, people have expressed an interest in having a classic Ms. Pac-Man cabinet here with the get the high score going on that with the speed upgrade chip in it.
Overclocked.
Yeah.
I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind if I brought mine in.
But, see, I mean, I got these at our last job. They're sort of cool collector's items, but we haven't turned them on in ages.
I
hate to get rid of them because someday I'm going to kick myself and say, I wish I still had those because I can never buy them again. But on the other hand, they're just massive and they're taking up tons of space.
Yeah, and they wear holes in your carpet, too. Like, I found that out when I moved out of my last house, like where my machines were sitting. Yeah, that was bad.
Because you move them around a lot, so it's constant rubbing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, nowadays, I'd rather just buy one of those awesome little all-in-one machines. It's like all MAME, and it's like $1,000, and it has like 6,000 arcade titles on it. And
yeah, that was my original plan with Bad Dudes, because I got it for like $250, and I was going to gut it and build a MAME machine. But like once I actually played Bad Dudes, I just didn't have the heart to like touch it. Like
it's ringing a bell for me. Double Dragon?
It's Double Dragon, right?
Final Fight?
Double Dragon and Shinobi, because you have the levels as well, right?
Yeah. It's the most tacky game on Earth too. It's like it's awesome.
It's really cool. You'd love it.
Is it Data East? Who is it?
I think so. Yeah, Data East. Yeah.
does sound amazing.
Yeah.
You'll have to look at some GIFs on the internet after we're done.
Yeah. Check out the Ninja Girls. They're cool.
Yeah, it is a sweet-ass name for a video game.
Oh, it's such a good name.
Maybe there's a petition started online for to bring Bad Dudes to Live Arcade.
Huge sandbox. Massively multiplayer Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
You're good at this.
Everyone would want to be a bad dude, though. No one would want to be a Dragon Ninja.
I don't know. Ninjas, you know, ninjas are pretty cool.
Bad dudes were basically ninjas, but also they were bad dudes.
That's true, yeah. Big biceps.
So you're one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. In the MMO, yeah. It's like
in the MMO, yeah.
Orcs and the classes. Yeah. Thinking about like World of Warcraft.
You're talking about your new design.
There's no classes
in
there.
This is a design doc. Yeah.
Okay. That's trademarked, by the way, right? Like, yeah, it is. Nobody can steal that idea.
Everyone's going to jump all over it. I can see it.
Dead East is going to call you.
Well, I think that it's been like 45 minutes. I think it's time to go home.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were bringing Bertone back in.
No, I talked to Bertone this morning and invited him to join us, but he was going snowboarding.
Oh, wow. So he's really busy nowadays. I see that.
Isn't he butthurt because of a match that took place the other day?
No.
I forget.
Clearly, finishing and shipping the level Cortana just sapped all of his creative juice. So.
No, but wasn't there a match against Bertone the other day? I forget.
Oh, yes. We did play a little 3v3.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, and man, three of us happen to be in here who were playing that match.
That's right. That was...
But it was us versus... It was me, you, and... That's right, it was me, you, and Brian.
Yeah.
But we played against video game designers, didn't we?
Yeah,
we
Paul.
Did.
So we didn't have a chance, really.
No. Well, Bertone's, super competitive and super good. Joe Staten, quality opponent. Sniper,
They're like Neo. Yeah. They're like... They can see the code streaming by.
CJ Count.
But I forget what the score was. What was the score?
A lot to a little. In the three games that we played.
It was 3-0 and we won. That's right.
Yeah.
We
skunked about that.
What did we play? We played OK Corral.
Yeah, new map, OK Corral. Asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical, yeah. You compared it to...
It's going
to
remind you of Turf.
Yep. Moonbase Alpha.
Moonbase Alpha.
Which had some new trip.
Remind
new
you
tweets.
Of Moonraker.
Yeah, it's going to remind you of Moonraker. Yeah.
And then we played Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, can't say what it's going to remind you of, or it gives the whole game away.
But it's not anything to do with Prince.
No, nothing.
And those are all three brand new maps. Those aren't any remakes.
Yes,
and
we spanked them.
Yeah, it was
pretty brutal. We can't wait to talk more about those, but for now we just have to tease and tantalize. Yes.
Joe Staten in game 3 on Moonbase Alpha, 6 kills, 20 deaths. I mean, and I remember it. I just, that statistic's just embrazened in my mind.
I bet if we looked at the heat map, it was all by that big chasm as well, because that's where I kept seeing it.
So, Christian, are you concerned at this point about putting in time to try to sort of establish yourself as a Halo 3 player, or are you pretty much just putting all your eggs in the next basket, and you're going to make sure that... game, you'll be there from day one.
Yeah, I think the next game is from day one. I mean, I'm mainly playing Halo 3 to get a feel for the community, see what people are playing, like hear people talk about the game. And really, the reason I suck so bad is because I have to dedicate a good 40% of my brain to doing a lot of analyzing of all these different components. And so I can't dedicate myself purely to, playing for skill.
Sure.
And I'm sure if I ever, fully turn on the juices, then...
That sounds like such a bullshit excuse for being bad.
Exactly.
I mean, Frank and I have that same problem. When we're playing online as ambassadors to the community, we just don't like to beat people.
Exactly.
So,
I want to give the community
I want to make
a good
sure that my
right?
opponents have a fun experience.
Yeah.
And if that comes at my loss, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'll sacrifice myself on the altar.
I regularly
kindness.
Do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to barf, so we should probably call this week a show. And we'll be back. I think the next show that we're going to record, we'll have Luke Timmons will be joining us.
Ooh, he talks fast.
He's a fast talker.
He gets a huge podcast value out of that.
Yeah.
Another guy who, as we've seen, so far it's become a trend with our guest speakers. I think everyone that we've had so far sort of ended up in the game industry, but it wasn't really like... their original sort of goal.
Oh, yeah. Luke's backstory.
Luke has a very interesting backstory.
It's a very interesting backstory. And when we come back in, I guess, a week and a half, 2 weeks, who knows, we'll tell you about it. So long. The Bungie Studios podcast is mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett, and hosted by Brian Gerard, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, and Bungie Studios.